Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Father, from our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And the Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Well, what did Jesus do this time? Go back one verse. Jesus said these words, "I and the Father are one." Can you imagine the scene? Jesus is walking along the side of the temple in Solomon's colonnade. This group, mob, whatever, of Jewish leaders, Pharisees, surround him. Stones are ready. They are asking him to tell them plainly who he is. I and the Father are one. It did not matter what great works he had done, turning water into wine, healing a blind man who was blind from birth, feeding thousands, casting out demons. None of those mattered. As soon as he said that phrase, "I and the Father are one," it was blasphemy. And he deserved to die, and the stones were ready. But not just that one verse. Go back a little bit further. The feast of dedication is going on. We know it as Hanukkah. A couple hundred years earlier, a foreign king had forbidden the sacrifices, the true sacrifices, in this temple. He had set up an altar for Zeus. A revolt occurred, the Maccabean revolt. It was successful. And so we have the Feast of Dedication, the true sacrifices, forgiveness for forgiveness. For the presence of God being in this temple. And now, the Feast of Dedication. The lights, the lamps are lit. A joyful time. When Jesus says, "I and the Father are one," it's not just identity that he's claiming to be the Son of God. More is going on here. He is claiming unity with God's purpose, with what God had sent him to do, what God wanted to be done originally in the temple, the forgiveness where his presence would be located is now going to be with Jesus. One in identity, one in forgiveness dispensed through Jesus, the very presence of God in Jesus. I'm not sure they caught all of that back then, but they did pick up the stones and they were ready to kill him. Why don't you go back a few weeks in our time to Palm Sunday? And Jesus rides in to Jerusalem triumphantly on the donkey, and then he stops and he looks at Jerusalem and he weeps, he cries. He knows what's going to happen to the city. Not only are they rejecting him as the Son of God, the Messiah, but it will be destroyed. In 40-some years, not one stone will be left on the temple. He knows what needs to be done for that destroyed temple to become him. So when he says, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it again," he's not talking about stones in Jerusalem. He's talking about his body. As he rides into Jerusalem on that donkey, people are acknowledging him. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He accepts all that praise and accolade as the Messiah. And what do the Pharisees do? They tell him, "Stop it. Stop all this praise." And Jesus has a cryptic saying. He says, If all of these were silent, even the stones would cry out. Even the stones would cry out. Well, the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees, get their wish. They don't stone him, but they nail him to a cross. His side is pierced, and he takes his last breath. And the praise is silenced. Disciples huddle in an upper room, afraid for their lives. Women are grieving. It is a time of great sadness and sorrow. And for 3 days, the praises have been silenced. Until Easter morning, I'm going to take just a little tangent here to go back to the Psalms, where in the Psalms it says, creation praises God. The mountains and the trees. What is that praise? When creation does just what God created it to do, that's praise. When birds sing in the early morning beautiful songs, it's music to God's ears. When a stream bubbles down the side of a mountain, praise is being sung. It's making the very sounds it's supposed to make. A young calf early in the spring suddenly leaping and rejoicing. Praise. Doing just what God had created it to do. Now for stones. What do stones do? What do stones do on Easter morning? When everyone else has been silenced, how will they make praise? Can you hear it? A stone in front of the grave is rubbing against the stone of the tomb. Where is the first praise coming on Easter morning when everyone else is silent? It's coming from the stones. The tomb is open. And Jesus, 3 days later, body once broken, is the new temple of God for us. From stones of hurt and praise and anger and grief to stones of praise. And what does Jesus bring? Just like the temple of old, forgiveness is dispensed, and the very presence of God is risen among us. Now, to bring it to today. At Timothy Lutheran Church, where my wife and I are members, we have a peace garden. That peace garden is made up of bricks in which are inscribed on it names of members and people that are being remembered. And in that peace garden is a very special brick for my wife and myself. Some of you know that a year and a half ago, our oldest son, Matthew, died of a pulmonary embolism suddenly one night. His cremains are in a green ceramic type box, buried in that peace garden. And on top of that spot is a brick, a stone. Matthew Allen Nielsen, 1984, 2017, with a simple cross on it. When my wife and I sit at that peace garden on a bench looking at that brick, grief and sorrow and pain and hurt are still there. And we know it will be there for as long as we're alive. Yes, we carry on. It is not as intense, it is not as often, but that stone still reminds us that Matthew is not with us. But a day will come. A day will come when that stone will just be thrown aside. And Matthew, sins forgiven, will rise from the dead with body remade, recreated. On that great day of resurrection, when Jesus returns, the stone will no longer mark that spot. He will live in all fullness once again. And praise to the fullest arises. Each one of us will one day have a stone marking our grave. For some of us, that day is sooner than for some of you. And unless Jesus comes back before then, just imagine your name and your birth date, and then on the other side, another date. And that will be a stone of grief and sadness and hurt for those who are left behind. But a day will come when that stone will be no more, and the only thing left will be the praises of those who have been forgiven and are now fully in the presence of God with Jesus Christ. At the end of this Bible passage that we heard, Jesus escapes from that crowd and he goes to a place where John the Baptist had been doing his baptizing work. And when he gets there, the people there say that everything John said about him was true. And what did John say? "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus, the new temple, has done just that. I am not John the Baptist, but this morning I give you the same witness. Jesus, the true Son of God, the temple rebuilt in his resurrection, dispenses forgiveness to you and promises a fullness on the last day with him of God's presence. Believe it. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding fill our hearts and our minds with that firm belief in Jesus, the giver of forgiveness and the very presence of God in our lives. Amen.